You are not an ordinary person. We are the outshine of God's glory. Don't let any circumstance have enough power to bother you. The Father has nowhere to stay than inside you and cannot express himself unless through your body. So your body becomes his body. That is why the Bible says we are the body of Christ. Sound it. I'm a doer of the word. I'm a world shaker. I live by the word. I'm born by the word. We are here to produce heaven on this earth. I produce heaven on earth. Zadiva Kasi. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. That's why I say, don't give up. Hey! Moko seki para buka du seti baha. Zagu. Rebege de bezia. Vege. Yakusa tifaros ki para kataya. Ah, I feel like turning water into wine.
You are invited to World Changers Conference this Sunday at Airport West Hotel at 6 p.m. and every other Sunday. Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. Enjoy grace as you grow in the knowledge of God.
Praise God. Shall we please be upstanding for the next 5 seconds? Shall we please be upstanding? I want you to look at someone and tell the person that you're welcome to World Changers Conference. Tell someone you're welcome to World Changers Conference. I want all the guys to wish the ladies Happy Mother's Day. I want all the guys to wish the ladies Happy Mother's Day. Wish the ladies Happy Mother's Day. Say, I am who Christ is.
I have what Christ has.
I can do what Christ can do.
I'm seated where Christ is seated.
In heavenly place. Now. Say, I'm not subject to the circumstance of this world.
I'm not subject to the circumstance of this world.
I am born to rule over the circumstance of this world.
In Christ Jesus.
Praise God. You're all welcome to World Changers Conference. Shamakolo. Let's all open our Bibles to Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 26. Shava Hashan de Lemekosa. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. Colossians, chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. Oh, leva hashan de me kushan da la bakaya. Zifashkulimaka. Have you all opened to Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Look at someone and tell the person, say, Christ in you.
Christ in you.
The hope of glory. Say that again, say, Christ in you.
Christ in you.
The hope of glory.
The hope of glory.
Shall we please be seated? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Last 2 weeks, we talked about the mystery of Christ. Last week, we talked about the mystery of Christ, the second version. Today, we are talking about the mystery of Christ again. Part 3. Praise God. The mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ. Are you all ready? If you are ready for the word, say, I love the word of God. Say, I love the word of God. It is the standard for my life. Praise God. Okay, the mystery of Christ. So last week we talked about the mystery of Christ and we talked about how God had predestinated his will. Or God had a predestinate will. And the will has now been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Today we are talking about Christ in you, the hope of glory. Most of the time we say we are in Christ, but we don't actually know what we are talking about. Praise God, you'll be blessed tonight. Okay. Well, what version is that? Okay. Oh, you can sit down.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. Mm-hmm. I'm reading from the King James Version. Mm-hmm. Even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, mm-hmm. but now is made manifest to his saints, mm-hmm. to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of this mystery among the Gentiles. Mm-hmm.
Which is Christ in you.
Which is Christ in you.
The hope of glory.
The hope of glory.
Whom we preach.
We preach.
Warning every man.
Warning every man.
And teaching every man in all wisdom.
Teaching every man in all wisdom. Mm-hmm.
That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Whereunto
it says whom we preach. It says that God is making known, or God has made known, the riches of his glory, the unsearchable riches of his glory, to the Gentiles. And Paul says that whom we preach. Who are we preaching? Christ. Whom we preach. Then he says, warning every man and teaching every man, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The other translation says that we may present every man fully matured in Christ Jesus. So it is not enough being born again. It's for you to be matured in Christ Jesus. So God desires that you be matured, fully matured in Christ Jesus. But then if you want to be fully matured in Christ Jesus, Paul says that what we want and preach people about is Christ. Praise God. So the message of Christ makes a Christian matures in Christ Jesus. The knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of God's will, the knowledge of Christ makes the Christian matures or matured in Christ Jesus. It makes him fully equipped. Because when you are born again, you are in Christ Jesus. So Paul says that whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man that we may in wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. So I want us to talk about who is Christ. Who is Christ? Who is Christ? Who is Christ? So Christ in you, the hope of glory. Who is Christ? So that if Christ is in you, he says that there is the hope of glory. Because that when Christ is in you, your life is supposed to be an unending glory. So what God is expecting from the Christian is glory. A life of glory. Because that is what he has given to the Christian. But then who is Christ? So that God can say that if Christ is in you, then what you should expect is glory. Praise God. Now I want you to understand that when you read the Old Testament, most of the prophets prophesied about this coming Messiah or Christ. And they talked about a lot of things concerning him. And when you begin to read about the coming of Jesus Christ, when he was born, he was called Jesus. Praise God. He was called Jesus when he was born. His name was called Jesus. So wherever he went to, they called him Jesus. Come here, Jesus, buy this food for me. As a kid, he was sent. Praise God. Praise God. But the Bible says that at the age of 30, something happened, an experience. He had a remarkable experience. The Holy Ghost came on him. And the Holy Ghost came in him. And stayed in him. And so the Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. So when God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost, that is when Christ came in. Jesus, the anointed one with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now, when Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, he went around doing good, the Bible says, and healing all that were oppressed. One day he said, the Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Why? Because the Spirit of God was on him and the Spirit of God was in him. He was the only one who had the Holy Ghost in him at that particular time. Shout amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
The reason why he was the only one who had the Holy Ghost. Why? Why was he the only one who had the Holy Ghost in him at that particular time? So, there is a difference between the word Christ as used in the Gospels and the word Christ as used in the Epistles. You see, Jesus functioned in the Old Testament. Listen very carefully. When Jesus came, he had come to introduce something new. But he came to meet that which was old. The law. So the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those people were learned in things of the, in the law. So even though he had come to introduce something new, he was still working in the old and doing some of the new in the old. Praise God. So when it was work, when you read the, when I talk about the Gospels, I'm talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke. You talk about you whatever you see whenever you see Christ there. That word Christ there is different from when you begin to read from Acts of the Apostles to the Epistles. The word Christ there are two different words, and the difference is in the revelational aspect. In other words, there is the revelation of Christ in the Gospel and there is the revelation of Christ in the Epistles. Do you understand? Or there is the meaning of Christ in the Gospel and there is the meaning of Christ in the Epistles. Praise God. Oh, are you confused right now? Praise God. So, Jesus, the anointed one, walked on this earth. He was called Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. One day he asked Peter, I said, Peter, who do men say? He asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? He said, some say you are Elisha, some say you are Moses. Then he said, who do you people say that I am? Then they said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Bible says that one day Jesus went around healing the sick and casting out devils. And the devil said, leave us alone. You are the Christ. Praise God. So when he was walking on this earth, he was known as the Christ. But then, I would say that he was not the Christ in entirety. In other words, he had not become a full revelation of the Christ. Praise God. This message is for a few people. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So that you find out that in the Gospels, when he talked about Christ, he talked about the anointed one and the anointing. In the Epistles, when he talked about Christ, he talked about the anointed one and his anointing. Listen very carefully. Praise God. I'm not hearing anybody's response. Hallelujah. So there's a difference between Christ in the Gospels and Christ in the Epistles. Now, in the Gospels, he talked about the anointed one. That's the meaning of Christ means Christos, the anointed one. Now, it means the anointed one and the anointing in the Gospels. In the Epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, it means that that one means that the anointing, when Christ is used, it means the anointed one and his anointing. There's a difference. The difference is that in one, in the Gospel, he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost by God. In the Epistles, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost and he anoints with the Holy Ghost. Listen. In the Gospels, he was anointed with how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went around doing good and healing all that to operate. So the Pharisees will come, they'll come and ask John the Baptist, are you the Christ? Then you say, no, I am not the Christ. So they were expecting Christ. But then the Christ came, Jesus the anointed one, or Jesus the anointed one and the anointing in the Gospels. After his resurrection, in the Epistles, when they talk about Christ, talk about Jesus the anointed one and his anointing. So in the first one, he was anointed, the Gospels. In the Epistles, he was anointed to anoint. Go to Luke chapter 3. Let me show you something. Let me prove it from the scriptures. In Thy presence we. Luke chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. Mark chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. In thy presence we are. Mark chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. Luke chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. And Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 downwards. I want us to open it. And I want you to understand that. You see, oh, Holy Ghost. Shama kosindele mekoya. Where have you got it? You've written it down. Okay, before we read that, open it. Before we read it, let me just explain something to you. So, have you all opened to Matthew, Mark, and look. You didn't get it. You got it. Luke chapter 3, verse 15 to 16. Then Mark chapter 1, verse 6. And then Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Okay, reading. But if you have opened it, shout a big hallelujah. Oh, Shekuma Katele Veshikara. Zuvoro Kosinki Valabasha Kasta. Livoro Kosekere Kusakora Hashkibi Diva Hashaka. Have you opened it? Okay. Have you opened it? Now, I want you to understand this before we go to that one. I've showed the difference between Christ and the Gospels and the Epistles when it is used. Now, I want you to understand that, you see that when the Bible talks about, in the Gospel, it says Jesus the Christ or Jesus the Anointed One. Now, many people were anointed in the Old Testament. David was anointed. How many of you know that David was anointed? How many of you here know that David was anointed? So David was anointed when Samuel went to anoint him with the oil. And the Spirit of God came on him. Samson was anointed. Elijah was anointed. Elisha was anointed. But the Bible did not call any one of them the anointed of God. Jesus Christ. They never said David Christ or David the anointed of God. No. Why? Because with them, the anointing, the Spirit of God came on them. But with Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God came on him and in him. So, with all the prophets that were anointed in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God came on them to do certain things. So, Samson was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He could beat 1,000 Philistines. He was anointed. But he was not called the anointed of God. And the reason why the Holy Ghost could not come and dwell inside them was because there was sin in them. Their spirits had not been made righteous. And thanks be to God that now, when you are born again, your spirit is made righteous. But in the case of Jesus, he was not born of the seed of man. He was born of the seed of God. The word of God, by the operations of the Spirit of God. That is why the Bible calls him the child of the Holy Ghost. And because of that, his spirit was the seat of the Holy Ghost. But then with all those people who came, they weren't born again. They weren't born of God. They were prophets, all right, but they weren't children of God. That is the Old Testament. So their spirit was not, could not be the seat of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because there was sin. I don't want to go into all of that. Sin had passed on all men, and there was sin. Because they were their spirit still had the nature of sin, the Holy Ghost could not dwell there. But with Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost could dwell inside. So John, one day the disciples went to John and said, this guy you talked about, he's baptizing people. Then he said something, he made a lot of statements, but he said that this person speaks the things of God because God gives to him the spirit without measure. Yes, John chapter 3, I think verse 36. John chapter 3, verse 36. The spirit, because God gives him the Holy Ghost. So Jesus had the Holy Ghost without measure. In other words, he had the full person of the Holy Ghost inside him. And so he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Shout hallelujah. But all those who came before Jesus, they didn't have the full person of the Holy Ghost in them because there was sin in their spirit. Shout amen. Have you caught that one? Can we continue? So now let's read, read Matthew, Mark, any one of them quickly and then quickly.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John,
mm-hmm.
to be baptized of him.
Mm-hmm.
But John forbade him, mm-hmm. saying,
mm-hmm.
I have need to be baptized of thee.
Mm-hmm.
And
Matthew chapter, Mark, or where is it, Mark? Okay, Matthew
chapter 3.
Okay. Start from verse 11.
Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 now.
Mm-hmm.
I indeed baptize you with water,
mm-hmm.
unto repentance.
Unto repentance.
Mm-hmm. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I,
mm-hmm.
whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear.
Mm-hmm.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's Matthew chapter 3, verse
11.
Verse 11. Okay. He shall baptize you with the Holy. I want you to take notice of that. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Okay. Now go to Luke.
Luke chapter 3 verse 15 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
And as the people were in expectation,
mm-hmm.
and all men mused in their hearts of John,
mm-hmm.
whether he were the Christ or not,
mm-hmm.
John answered,
mm-hmm.
saying unto them all,
mm-hmm.
I indeed baptize you with water,
mm-hmm.
but one mightier than I cometh,
mm-hmm.
the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose.
Mm-hmm.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And go to Mark chapter 1 quickly. Over. Jesus. So fascinated. Is anybody there? Mark chapter 1.
Mark chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
verse 7 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
And preached, saying,
mm-hmm.
there cometh mightier than I after me,
uh-huh.
the lashes of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose.
Mm-hmm.
I indeed have baptized you with water,
mm-hmm.
but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So, that was John the Baptist in all the readings. That was John the Baptist speaking. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He says, the one who is coming after me is mightier than... The people went to ask John, are you the Christ? Or should we expect another person? Tell us who you are. Then he said that, I'm not the Christ. Then he said, the one who comes after me is mightier than I. The latchet of whose shoes I'm unworthy to untie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The man said that he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So, John was talking about Christ. But you see, when Jesus Christ came, we never heard when he was walking on this earth that he baptized anybody with the Holy Ghost. That shows you that when John was talking about Christ, he was talking beyond his walk on this earth. In other words, he was like, prophesying about what the Christ would be like. He shall baptize you. So he will not just be baptized. In other words, the Christ was coming to usher us into some kind of baptism. He, John, was baptizing them in water, similar to what the Christ was coming to do. Then he was explaining to them that the Christ will baptize them with the Holy Ghost, not water. So John was prophesying concerning the Christ and what will make him the Christ. What made John the Baptist was because he baptized them in water. John the Baptist, he was baptizing the people in water. He was John when he was born. Then they added the Baptist. Why? Because he was baptizing the people in water. Then John was prophesying and saying that the one who is coming after me shall also baptize. But he shall not baptize in water, but rather he shall baptize with the Holy Ghost. Shout a big hallelujah. So Christ is the one who is baptized and baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Christ is the one who is anointed and anoints with the Holy Ghost. Open to Acts chapter 2. Let's look at where this prophecy was fulfilled. Verse 36. Acts chapter 2, verse 30 to 36. Especially the 36, but verse 30, quickly. Shokora hasin dini mahashapaya. Molovo kosiki rabuku sakaya. So the Christ you people are looking for was going to also baptize, but not with water, but with the Holy Ghost. So when he was in the gospel, he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized with the Holy Ghost. That was Jesus. But when he walked on this earth, he never baptized anybody with the Holy Ghost. He never anointed anybody with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that he describes, he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And said, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. But then John the Baptist, talking about him futuristically, says that no, the Christ will be baptized or will be anointed and will anoint. Praise God. That is why the Christian is the anointed one of God. But let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 30 to 36 quickly.
Verse 30 to 36. Mm-hmm. Therefore, being a prophet, mm-hmm, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath.
He was talking about David, verse 30. 29 says what?
Men and brethren, mm-hmm, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. Mm-hmm. And he is both dead and buried.
And buried.
And his sepulcher is with us unto this day.
Therefore, being a prophet,
mm-hmm, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, mm-hmm, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, mm-hmm, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne.
He will raise up Christ to sit on his throne.
Mm-hmm. He sees this before speak of the resurrection of Christ. Uh-huh. That his soul was not left in hell, mm-hmm, neither his flesh see corruption. Mm-hmm. This had God raised up, mm-hmm, whereof we all are witnesses.
We are witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted.
Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted,
mm-hmm, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost.
And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost,
he had shed for this, which ye now see and hear. Mm-hmm. For David is not ascended into the heavens, uh-huh, but he said himself, mm-hmm, The Lord said unto my Lord,
uh-huh,
sit thou on my right hand, uh-huh, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Mm-hmm. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly, mm-hmm, that God had made that same Jesus, mm-hmm, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
That God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Say it after me. Say it after him, Robert. Let them say it after you before we continue.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly, mm-hmm,
that God had made that same Jesus.
That God has made that same Jesus. Whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Shout a big hallelujah. So this was Peter talking about when the Holy Ghost came. The people were confused. So when they came and Peter was explaining to them, he started explaining these things to them, that David was a prophet and foresaw the coming of Christ, and foresaw the resurrection of Christ, and foresaw that What someone was going to come, who was going to be raised from the dead to sit at the right hand of God. And that person, he says, God has made that person both Lord and Christ. So, in salvation, we talk about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So, by resurrection, he had become the Lord. And he has also become the Christ. Both Lord and the Christ. When did God, according to what we read, when did God make him the Christ? After resurrection. When you go home, just take your time to look at it. It says that because he has been raised up from the dead, and David foresaw and said, the Lord, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand, till I make all your enemies your footstool. So, Peter was talking about David's prophecy concerning the Christ. Then he said that because he foresaw that God will raise the Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand, he spoke these things. In Acts chapter 2 verse 30. And now God has made this person both Lord and Christ. He said, when you crucified him, you thought that was all. But God has made him. Say, God has made him. Say that. Say, God has made him. Both Lord and Christ. So, who is the Christ? So that, now, Christ means the anointed one. That's why I'm saying that before his resurrection, it means that Christ, before his resurrection, the meaning of Christ, or the revelational meaning of Christ, you can write this thing down, before his resurrection, is different from the revelational meaning of Christ after his resurrection. The revelational meaning of Christ before his resurrection or in the Gospels is different from the revelational meaning of Christ after the gospel, after the resurrection. After the resurrection. The revelational meaning of Christ before the resurrection is different than the revelational meaning of Christ after the resurrection. Shout a big hallelujah. Are you here? Oh, praise God. Can we continue? Okay. So it means that when we talk about Christ now, we are talking about the anointed one and his anointing. Right now, after the resurrection. So who is Christ? Christ is the one, or is the very person. It's one person. That is seated at the right hand of God. Write it down. Christ is the very person. We say, when we say Christ, means we are talking about the anointed one and his anointing after the resurrection. Now, to the church. And we are saying that when we talk about Christ, we are saying that that person is the only one that is seated at the right hand of God. So when he was raised, he was set at the right hand of God. The anoint. Now, listen. The anointed one is seated at the right hand of God. He is seated in majesty. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says, having paid our sins, sat down at the right hand of God, or sat down in majesty, or sat down in heavenly realm, or in an heavenly realm. So, Christ is a person who was raised from the dead. Are you listening? And is now seated at the right hand of God. That person is anointed. He is called the anointed one. He is the only anointed one. So when he was raised from the dead, he was made to sit at the right hand of God. So as we are talking right now, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And he is known as the anointed one because he is the only one to have sat. Or to sit at the right hand of God. Did you hear that? He is called the anointed one because he is seated, the only one to sit at the right hand of God. The only one to sit at the very place that he is seated. He is the only one there. Are you following? So,
He is called the anointed one, seated at the right hand of God. Then all his enemies are made his footstool. In other words, all his enemies are under him. And all things have been gathered in him. We've talked about that all the previous Sundays. That this Christ is one person, all things are gathered in him. He's the owner of all things, whether visible or invisible. And all things are under him. And he is seated right now at the right hand of God. Shout hallelujah. So, right now as I'm speaking to you, there is this one person who is seated at the right hand of God, where all names that is named on this world is under him. And all government that is named in this world is under him. And all thrones and powers are under him. Where he is seated in heavenly realm, in heavenly place, at the right hand of God, is a position of authority. By that positioning, he's called the anointed one, the only one anointed to sit at the right hand of God. Shout amen. Now listen. We say the anointed one and his anointing. So what is the his anointing? I'm explaining to you who is Christ. And what it means when he says Christ is in us. And you are in Christ. If you are following, shout a big hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout another big hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to go home blessed. Praise God. Yeah. So, he is seated at the right hand of God. Robert, come and sit here. I am God. Then he is seated at the right hand. So that all things are your Bible and your microphone gathered unto you. And where you are seated far above every name that is named in this world and the world to come. God is a wise God. That's why he says we teach them in wisdom. He has positioned him in such a way that every other name that is yet to come is under him. Now, this is Christ, the anointed one, at the right hand of God. A position of authority. He is the anointed one. Do you understand that one? Now, we say the anointed one and his anointing. What is the his anointing now? When God anointed him and positioned him at his right hand, the proof that God has positioned him at his right hand was the Holy Ghost. Now listen. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God. In Genesis, we say, in the beginning, God, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. See, the Spirit of God comes with the presence of God. Listen. So, when the Spirit of God comes into a person, God is in that person. Why? Because he comes into that person with the presence of God. When God raised him and positioned him here, God gave him the Holy Ghost as a seal. It is like this. You've been given a check. Everything is on the check. But then there is a seal, which is the signature. Without a signature, even though they've written everything on the check, when you go there, they'll reject you. You go to bank for it, they'll reject you. Why? Because there is no seal. There is no stamp. There is no enough evidence or proof that signature belongs to you. Are you listening? So, for us to know, and for all men to know that he has been anointed, God gave him a seal, or a stamp, or a signature, or what is called a signet ring, a seal. And that seal was the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost was the Spirit of God. So, God took his spirit, called the Spirit of God, and gave him to the anointed one. When he gave the Holy Ghost to the anointed one, he gave the Holy Ghost to the anointed one as his own. Now listen, I repeat that one. He gave the Holy Ghost to the anointed one, the one seated at his right hand, as his own. So that the Holy Ghost, also called the Spirit of God, is also called the Spirit of Christ. Are you listening? You see, when you read the Old Testament, when Joseph
interpreted the dream to Pharaoh. The Bible says that after he made all those pronouncements on Joseph and said that you are going to be my prime minister, and whatever you say, my people will do it, and raised Joseph to that level. The Bible says that after he had done that, he gave Joseph a signet ring. He took his ring and gave it to Joseph. So anybody who saw that ring with Joseph will know that no, whatever he says, we must obey. Because anybody who disobeyed Joseph had disobeyed Pharaoh. Why? Because Pharaoh had taken his signet ring and had given it to Joseph to sit in his place of authority. So it's like when somebody is made a king, the person sits on the throne. But it doesn't end there. The person is given a crown. Why is he given a crown? As a seal. So that when you see him even walking without his throne, with a crown, you can know that this person, or your hina or your hima. Praise God. So when he set him at the right hand, he gave him a seal called the Holy Ghost. When he gave him that seal called the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost had come to belong to Christ. Now, open to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In verse 9. Romans chapter 8. Verse 9 to 10.
Romans chapter 8, verse 9 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
But ye are not in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
but in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you.
Mm-hmm.
Now if any man have not the spirit of Christ,
mm-hmm.
he is none of his.
Mm-hmm. Now listen. He says what? If any man has what? Has not what? The spirit of Christ. He's talking about the same person, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Because he had been given to Christ, he had come to belong to Christ. So he's called the Spirit of Christ. Praise God. Say the Spirit of Christ. Say the Spirit of the Anointed One. So this is the Anointed One and his anointing. His anointing is his, the Spirit of Christ, or the Holy Ghost, or the seal that was given to him as a sign that it is true, he's the anointed. So it's called the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost. I wanted something to just add to him as the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Okay, let's continue. So, he as the anointed one and his anointing seated. Right now. His anointing, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ. Then he says, if any man does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not none of his. We'll come back to that place. Now, when God gave the Holy Ghost to the Anointed One, he now became, or he had the, he was the anointed, he is the Anointed One and his anointing. The Anointed One, look at someone and tell the person, the Anointed One and his anointing. Which is the Spirit of Christ? Oh, shout! He said, "Which is the Spirit of Christ, or the Anointed of Christ, or the Anointing of Christ?" So, at the right hand, he's there. Now, listen. Are you listening? What do we mean when we say Christ is in us? If he's seated at the right hand, how do we say that he is in us? See, it's a mystery. And that's the mystery I'm unveiling. I'm bringing it to you. That Christ is in you. If any man be in Christ. When we say it, if any man be in Christ. Most of the time, many Christians don't know what they are saying. Praise God. So, now look at, listen. The spirit of a person is that person. Listen. Now come. The spirit of a person is that person. Now, Nana is standing here. The spirit of him is him. This is his body housing his spirit. So the Bible says man is a spirit. God is a spirit. Man is a spirit. Now, when the next spirit leaves his body and comes to dwell in me, Nana is in me. So when I'm coming, Prince is coming, but then Nana also is in me, and Nana is coming. Even though the people who are seeing me are only seeing Prince, but in reality, Nana too is in me. Why? Because his spirit is in me. That is why when a demon possesses somebody, we say that the devil is in the person. But when an evil spirit possesses, is in the spirit of a person, we say the evil spirit is in the person. You understand? We say, oh, this guy, there is a demon in him. Why? Because an evil spirit, which is the spirit of the devil, is in that person. Now you can announce it now. So the spirit of a person is that person. And when the spirit of a person comes into you, that person is in you. Shout hallelujah. Are you following? So when anybody's spirit comes into me, that person is in me. Supposing somebody dies and the spirit could enter a person. If the spirit enters, what is this movie? Was this Second Chance? Was this movie? I remember, old movie. When somebody was dead and the spirit entered into you know, so when somebody's spirit enters, is able to enter or could enter into you. Why are you laughing? Okay, I remember the movie. So, in case somebody dies and the spirit enters the person, that person is in the person is entered into. Shout hallelujah. Now listen. So because of that, when we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we say we confess you as our Lord and Savior, or when we confess the Lordship of Jesus as Lord, then his spirit, why? Because the spirit has been given to him. So where we read in Acts chapter 2, says that God has given him the spirit and he has shared the spirit abroad. In other words, when anybody believes in this person as in Obed as Lord, or confesses the Lordship of Jesus, Romans chapter 10, verse 8, reading downwards, we believe with our heart, we confess with our mouth unto salvation. So when you believe in your heart unto righteousness and confess that Christ Jesus is Lord of your life, then this person, because you say he is Lord of your life, send his spirit into you. So now he has given his spirit. So that anybody who believes and confesses him as Lord receives his spirit into him. So all of you who are born again have the Holy Ghost in you, who is the Spirit of God, who is also the Spirit of Christ. Are you listening? So when the Spirit of Christ comes into you, Christ is in you. Did you hear that? So, by his Spirit, or through the agency of his Spirit, he indwells everybody who confesses him as Lord and Savior. Did you hear that? Through the agency of his spirit, which is the spirit of Christ, he dwells in everybody who confesses him as Lord. So anybody who confesses him as Lord receives him into himself or herself. How? Through his spirit. And his spirit is omnipresent. It means that his spirit can be anywhere at every time. So he has distributed himself into everybody by his spirit, the spirit of Christ. So when we say Christ is in you, we are saying that the spirit of Christ is in you. When we say the spirit of Christ is in you, we are saying that Christ is in you. So when he says Christ in you, the hope of glory, what he's saying is that this anointed one and his anointing are all inside you. He is inside you. Christ is in me. But he's inside you by his spirit. And since the spirit of a person is that person, if his spirit is in you, then he is in you.
Why is that in the wisdom of God all these things had to happen? Say, Christ is in me. Say, Christ is in me. So anyone who is born again and goes to church, you are born again, you've confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior, Christ is in you. This person is in you by his spirit. This person is in you by his spirit. So the spirit of Christ carries into us the presence of Christ and the power of Christ. You can write that one down. The spirit of Christ carries into us the presence of Christ and the power of Christ. The spirit of, say, Christ is in me. Christ is in me. Christ is in me. The spirit of Christ carries into everybody or anyone who believes, or comes into everyone who believes, with the presence of Christ and with the power of Christ.
Shamaloko shetele.
With the presence of Christ and with the power of Christ. So right now, Christ is in you. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, that is the same person, comes into you with the presence of Christ and with the power of Christ. That is why it says, for we are his workmanship. That is why the Bible says, for Christ, who is our life. And this, in the next weeks, we'll be talking about all of that. Praise God. But then, Christ is in you. This anointed person is in you. How? By his spirit. The Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. Shout amen.
Amen.
Shout another big amen.
Amen.
Now it says, if Christ is in you, that is why Romans 8 says that, if anybody does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his own, or he does not belong to Christ. So when you belong to Christ, the proof is that you have the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Ghost in you. Now, let me show you what God did. The reason why the Holy Ghost is in you, Christ is in you, is because when Jesus resurrected, we weren't there. When Peter and others saw him when he was ascending to heaven, we were not there. But the proof that it really happened is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ that has been given to us. So God gave the Holy Ghost to him. By the Holy Ghost, that's what some of you are speaking in tongues, you're speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost is a proof that it is true that Jesus was raised from the dead, and Jesus ascended into heavens to sit at the right hand of God. The Holy Ghost is that proof. And the Holy Ghost is the proof that we belong to Christ, that we are his own, that we have believed in Christ. So the Spirit of Christ is a proof that we belong to Christ, or we have believed in this Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead. So anybody who believes that Jesus was raised from the dead receives him into his spirit through the Holy Ghost. Shout amen.
Amen.
How many of you understand? We understand. Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you understand what I'm saying? Praise God. So now he says that Christ in us. Why is Christ in us? Because his spirit is in us. Then it says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now listen. So if his spirit is in you, this person's spirit is in you, the anointed one, his anointing is in you. You are anointed of God. Listen. It means that, why? It means that, so that whatever this person is, you are. Whatever has been given to him, authority, power, all the things that are given to him, his life, you have it. So what he did was that all that he became, or how all that he was made, he has shared all that he is, all that this person has, with all those who believe in him. wasn't selfish. So anybody who believes in the anointed one has all that he has. Has all that he has. And is all that he is. And can do all that he can do. Shout amen. Amen. So, when we talk about Jesus Christ, right now, we say, hey, this person, hey, Christ Jesus, if Jesus was here, if all the... Now, what he has done is that he's still here with you. That is why the Bible says that we are seated together with him in heavenly place. How many of you have heard that before? You've heard that before. Why? We are walking on this earth. He said we are seated. Because he is in us. So where he sits, we are seated. Oh, shout amen.
Amen.
So where he is seated, we are seated. What is under him is under our feet. Even though we are walking like this, whatever is under him is under us, because the Christ whom all things are under his feet is now in you. So all the things that are under his feet are also under your feet. Oh. So if all names are under his feet, all names are under your feet. Because you are in him and he is in you. Shout amen.
Amen.
All the things that are gathered in him as his own. The Bible says it's the heir of God. Last week we read this thing that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things. All the things that are gathered in him are now in us. Because he is in us with all those things. So we are the fullness of all things. You see, what we are doing watching this conference is laying the foundation. It's very important. What we are doing every time talking about Christ, we are just laying foundation. Praise God. Because certain things will happen in watching this conference, people will say that we are performing magic. But because of this thing that we have taught, that started already. And when we finish, there's a testimony Mami will give about someone who says she will be coming to give a testimony. Praise God. Praise God. So, whatever is gathered in him is also gathered in us, because he is in us. That is why we say Christ Jesus, the mirror of the Christian. When we see wherever he's seated, if he sees devils and all the devils run away, when devil sees you, they must run away. You are a master to devils. You are a master to sin. You are a master to circumstances. When he met the storms, he said, quiet, be still. When you see circumstances, situations, you say, quiet. You say that with boldness. Kai, open to 1 John 4:17. So that you boldly say that, because you are not saying that because you're a student. You are not saying that because you are an employee at this place. You are saying that because there is Christ in you. Paul said, I can do all things. Then he said, through Christ who strengthens me. Paul knew that Christ was in him. So he said that Christ that was in him energized him, empowered him, emboldened him to do all things. That is the same way the Christ that is in you is going to energize you to do all things. So the things that people say is impossible, you go with that consciousness that Christ is in you. It's not a story, it's a reality. Say, it's a reality.
It's a reality.
So if he says he's seated, we are seated. If he issues commands and they happen, we issue command and they happen. If he's master over sicknesses, you are master over sicknesses. If all things are in him, last week I was saying, if all things are in him, it means that he is the fullness of provisions. It is whatever anybody needs or wants to be provided for him has already been given to him and is in him. When it comes into you, you are the fullness of provisions. So what you are looking for has already been provided for, or is already a provision in Christ Jesus. That's what last week I said, that everything is already done. The church is here for manifestation, to receive this knowledge and to manifest. Oh,
Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, because all things are gathered into him, all things have been provided for in him already. What we have received is what has already been provided for in him. That is why there can be manifestations of things in your life.
Oh, Jesus.
Shout a big hallelujah. So he is your mirror. What you see in him, whatever you see that they say he can do, you read, you say, this is what he did. You walk boldly to do the same. Why? Because he, the one who did that, is in you now. The one who did that is in you now. Shout amen.
Amen.
Now, 1 John 4:17 says what?
1 John chapter 4, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day
that
of judgment.
That we may have boldness in the day of judgment.
Because as he is.
Our boldness is as a result of the fact that, or the truth that, as he is,
so are we in this world.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you see that? 1 John 4:17. Have you opened your Bible? Read it again. Have you seen your Bible? I want us to read it together. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Let's all read it together. 1, 2, go. When?
In this world.
So he says, for us he is, so am I. For us, he is now, so is this person.
Oh, God.
As he is now, he says, so are we in this world. We are the one who show that he's really there. Our absence means that he's not there. When we show forth, wherever we show forth, it means he is there. That is why he says, Lord, I'm with you always. When you enter an office, he is there. The Christ you are calling on to come and help you is already in you, in the office. See, this is an understanding. This is an understanding. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So this is the mystery that Paul was talking about. Christ is in us. And he says, we preach these things to present them mature. If these things are not taught in church, we are only raising immature people. They're only raising immature people in the church. Because they don't know who is in them. The Bible says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So what you are seeing right now, what is inside you, or who is inside you, is greater than what you are seeing. The person you are calling on, Jesus help me, oh God, oh help me, oh God, I killed all this person. Oh, no. Christ is already in you. So when you understand that he is in you, you move through him. You live through him. You do things through him. You speak through him.
Oh, shout amen.
Amen.
Say, Christ is in me.
Christ is in
me. Then it says, the hope of glory. It means that when Christ is in you, right now, as Christ is in you, your life is a life of unending glory. In other words, by reason of what he has and who he is and where he's seated and all those things, he's seated in glory. He's a person of glory, somebody who has been glorified. He has been given a position that is above every other name in this world. He has been given things that all people are looking for already in him. Say powerful. So, because of that, when Christ comes into you, whatever he is and he has and what has been given to him must manifest through you. The hope, the expectation of the Christian, of God concerning the Christian, is glory. The expectation of God concerning the Christian is glory. Because Christ, who is the unsearchable glory of God, searchable riches of his glory, this person, has come to indwell me and has made me his dwelling place. That is why the Bible says that, what we read last week, Ephesians chapter 3, When he says that we are joint heirs, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. He says we are joint heirs. And I explained that it means that we are participants in common of the things that are in him. Then he says, and of the same body. In other words, because Christ is in you, this body is his body. Oh, Jesus. Shout amen. So the because Christ is in you, this is his body. We are of the same body. Christ and us are of the same body. That's what the Bible says, that if Christ be in you, though your body is dead because of sin, it says that Christ gives the body life because of righteousness. And this body is Christ's body, so Christ can give his body life. Which body is that? This your body. Why? Because this is his house. Oh, shout amen.
Amen.
Shout amen.
Amen.
See, this is what Peter understood. And he said in Acts chapter 2, verse 30 to 36, where we read, Acts chapter 2, that God has made him both Lord and Christ. And then Acts chapter 3, the Bible says, as they were going the beautiful gate, they met a lame person. They said, rise up and walk. Why? He understood that he has been made Lord. Jesus has been made Lord and Christ. And Jesus was still in them. So if he made a lame person to walk before their eyes, now that he was seated and has come to dwell in them, they could also make a lame person walk before the eyes of other people. Shout amen.
Amen.
Shout amen.
Amen.
Shout amen.
Amen.
So we are of the same body. When you walk with this consciousness, your life will be a life of glory. It doesn't matter what you see around you, you will change it. See, when you understand certain things, you don't understand why something contrary to this knowledge should happen to you. Our life is not a life that anything can happen. Our life is a life that we create what we want to happen. You decide what you want happening. You say, no, I don't want sickness to reign in my body. As you pray, you say, body, in the name of Jesus, let life come to the body. You say it over and over every time as you pray. Then your body begins to respond to the words that you've been speaking. Then Christ that is in you begins to quicken your body. You don't just sit down. Anything should happen. I was telling Nobed last Friday, we went to pray, and I told him that life on this earth is too uncertain for you to just walk the way you want. You can only be certain about life when you are in the will of God, or when you have knowledge of his will. So life on earth is too uncertain. You are working with somebody today, tomorrow they say that he's dead. Say, ah, it's not my mother was with her. It's shocking. Because life on earth is uncertain. But life is not uncertain for the Christian. If the Christian begins to understand this thing that Christ is in him and begins to speak it, and begins to decide when he wants to live here, once he wants to stay, what he wants to happen in his world, those are the things that will happen. See, we're in a life where people are looking for healing, people are looking for needs here, people are all kinds of troubles in the world. But we are also in a world, in a person, where all things and provisions and health and life has been given to him. And authority has been given above every name that is named, and he is in us. What do we do with Christ in us? Can you please be upstanding? Can you please be upstanding? If you are blessed tonight, shout a big hallelujah. So in a world where things are uncertain, you can be certain about your life. You can be certain about your life. You can be certain about your life. You can create the kind of life you want to live. You can create the kind of time you want certain things to happen. Oh, Shabalaka. So as you walk in an understanding and you don't keep quiet, you speak these things. Paul said, which things also we speak. Which things also we speak. Which things also we speak. Not as man's wisdom teaches, but as the Holy Ghost teaches us. So the things that we are taught tonight, we speak them. Oh, shout amen. He said, oh, Christians are traveling. They are traveling. They all had an accident. They all died. Because they've not been taught that Christ is in them. So they don't speak anything. They wake up, go to church on Sunday. They are back to work the whole of the week. They are back on Sunday to church. Back the whole of the week. saying nothing about their life, knowing nothing about who they are. So when things happen, we begin to ask God, God, why are these things happening to this person? Because that person allowed it. Say, whatsoever you allow on this earth shall be allowed in heaven. You say, oh, I'm in a relationship, I'm experiencing disappointments. You have allowed it. You should have started speaking. If you had understand that Christ is in you, you begin to speak. My husband is blessed. My children are blessed. My husband is a good fellow. In the name of Jesus. As you begin to say all those things, you are creating the kind of marriage you want to have. But since the time you got born again, that's what Paul said, that to pray and to desire. From the time you got born again, all you know is just go to church on Sundays, leave the church, go to work from Monday to Friday, you go to church. Without any understanding of who you are and what you should be speaking into your life, into your destiny. And so things just happen. Don't make things happen. Don't allow things to happen. Make them happen. Don't allow things to just happen. Make them happen. Look at someone, tell the person, don't just allow anything to happen. Make them happen. Because Christ is in you. Oh, I'm not hearing your voice. Say, don't just allow anything to happen. Make them happen. Because Christ is in you. And you are in Christ. Shout a big hallelujah. Say, henceforth, my life is a life of glory. Say, henceforth, my life is a life of glory. My marriage is a marriage of glory. My relationship is a relationship of glory. My finances are glorious. In the name of Jesus. Wherever I enter, glory has entered. Because Christ has entered. In the name of Jesus. Oh, shall they say, I am who Christ is. I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. I'm seated where Christ is seated. In heavenly place. Now, all enemies are under my feet. All enemies are my footstool. And all things are in Christ. In me. Say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Lift up your voice and thank God, who causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Shavada bakashaya. Shevede begedi bakashahataya. Zivugudu bagashege de lebegeya. Avagada bakashende lebekosa. Miko leva sundi limekusaya. Libo roko seki barasa. Mindo vo sindini makashaya. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now, lift up your hands. We don't have much time. Lift up your hands. I declare over your life. I declare over your destiny. I declare over your work that from today you shall see unending glory. That goodness shall follow you wherever you stand. I declare manifestations of glory. I declare manifestation of goodness in the name of Jesus. In whatever area you are challenged, I speak to that challenge. I say, quiet, be still. Oh, I release calmness over there. I release calmness over there in the name of Jesus. Wherever you are challenged, I change the challenge. In the name of Jesus, I say glory should come to you. In the name of Jesus. Shout a big hallelujah. Praise God.
The word is a seed, when planted and watered, grows to be great. You can be anything you want, can achieve all your dreams if you only believe. The word of God is here today, coming right at you. Would you believe it? Dare to receive.